Welcome to the Occupy Podcast. On this episode, Paul sits down with Christiane Soy-Choleur to talk about purpose, self-organization, and love in the workplace. Curious? Well, stay tuned for all that and more right now.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Occupy Podcast. I am your host, Paul. Today, I am joined by Christiane Soy-Choleur. She's been an entrepreneur, an international business consultant, and a coach for most of her professional life. She's been a Holacracy coach I know of for years, co-founded Encode and Evolution at Work. We've talked many times, and it's always a pleasure chatting with you, and I'm thankful that you're on the podcast.
Well, thank you so much, Paul. That was a, wow, that was a succinct and good short. I have to learn from making it that short and not forget anything important. So thanks a lot for that. And I'm really happy to be here. As you said, we've had many wonderful conversations before, and I'm sure this is going to be another one. So thanks for inviting me.
Oh, absolutely. The first thing I wanted to talk to you about is just around the concept of self-organization. So I'd kind of just like to know your general thoughts on how the concept of self-management and self-organization has affected your work, has affected you personally.
Are we talking about self-management or self-organization? For me, these are two different things. Let me go back to my work that I did for a very long time as consultant and coach and also trainer. At first, I loved it, and then something kind of started to miss, and I felt that I wasn't really making things better for people. Then I started searching. It's like the ever entrepreneurial thing, you know, there has to be a better way. And I started searching, and there was very little. I mean, this is like over 10 years ago, there was really very little. If you started to research alternative ways of organizing, or at the time it was like maybe more modern ways of organizing, there was very little. And I ran into Sociocracy and Holacracy and researched on both and decided for Holacracy. At the time, to be quite honest, the term self-organization really didn't mean much for me. I mean, it was just, okay, this is an alternative. Of course, then learning it, getting trained, becoming a coach and working. And then, of course, the whole learning started. Then I started to look into, you know, what is self-organization? Also based back on to what I learned in systems theory and then looking at things on a more systemic way. And it's been an incredible journey ever since, getting ever more clarity on what are we actually talking about when we talk about self-organization. And my perspective is that self-organization really is understanding the connectedness of everything and how it evolves. So I've come from, in a bit over a decade, from looking for a different way of working to something which gives me orientation in my life, has changed my life, and gives my life meaning, and so on and so on.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you for that. One thing that you mentioned is that you believe self-management and self-organization are different concepts. And this is something I've talked to a few different people about. I would love to know what the kind of main difference is of those for you.
So the way I understand self-organization, it is the evolutionary principle of the universe. So ever since the Big Bang, the universe has evolved and evolved into ever-increasing complexity and following some principles, and those principles are self-organization. So our life is self-organized. Nature, which is our life, is self-organized. So it is the principle by which the universe evolves. That's how I understand self-organization. Self-management is how we, as individuals, manage ourselves, our health, our well-being, our learning, our time, our whatever we do to have a balanced life, I would say, and how we organize it around our own life and what we do in it, that is self-management.
If I'm understanding correctly, is it kind of that self-management is how you act and what you do to make decisions in your life, and self-organization is more the systems and the processes and the way that things are that you have to work within?
Yes.
Okay.
Precisely. So when we, you know, in an organization that actually wants to function self-organized, it is about the trial to mirror natural processes and follow the same principles as the evolution of nature or of the universe.
Well, thank you very much for that. I really like that perspective. From self-organization, one of the questions that comes up a lot is what leadership looks like in a self-organized environment. And one question specifically I know you've asked that I'd like to talk about is the idea of how do we move from who has the best answer to how can we truly learn from each other?
Yeah, thank you for addressing that. That's a question that's really very close to my heart. And I think it depends. We have to be clear on which context we're actually talking about. And I would like to start with where you started, with leadership. I think that the term leadership is programmed in our society. Is the question that leadership is anchored in a person who is a leader and who will then have followers. And the entire world of leadership training, of becoming a great leader, and you know, all that, those terms actually connect or anchor leadership in outstanding people with specific traits. And even if it's servant leadership, in the end, it is about having people follow you. And I think that this is something which is not something we see in nature. And I have for myself, I have found a different definition of leadership. And that is that leadership is the capacity of a system to successfully work towards a desired outcome. So it is a systemic thing. And if we talk about self-leadership, we are a system, right? And to understand how we lead ourselves, we need to understand ourselves as a system. An organization is a system. So, you know, connections between many parts that play together, and it is the capacity of the entire system to move towards a desired output. That is the way I feel you need to understand leadership if you want to really understand self-organization and not anchor it as leadership being a trait of a specific people who will lead as a position and the others need to follow. Of course, in a system where leadership is truly distributed in the way that I described it before, there are, depending on at what point in time and what the different parts of the system are, what the contribution of the different parts of the system is, at some point, one part will be leading and others will be following, and then another part that will shift. So that is a fluid phenomenon and is distributed in the way it serves the system best in order to move forward.
I think you answered it perfectly, going from who has the best answer to how can we truly learn from each other. Are you familiar with the concept of dynamic subordination?
No, I am actually not.
I believe it was coined in the Navy SEALs. And they have a concept of they need to make decisions very, very quickly. And so they don't have the time to look to the leader to make a choice. And they know that every person has different levels of insight or training in different areas. And so the idea there is that at any given moment, whoever knows what to do, whoever has the most experience, whoever is the first to step up and say, I know how to handle this, they become the leader and everyone else just immediately follows. And so at any point, the leader of the team can change just based on whoever knows the most right at that moment. That was one of the things that came to mind with this question you asked of who has the answer versus how can we learn from each other. That concept of dynamic subordination popped out to me of leaders that set up their team in such a way that say, hey, I don't always have all the answers. Somebody else is going to know more than me in these different areas. And so when those situations come up, that person should be the leader of a team. And I think that's also a really good way to learn from one another.
as I said, I don't know anything about the concept as such. I'm certainly going to check that out and learn about it. So thank you for mentioning that. The word subordination is intriguing because I'm not sure whether it is the same, but I use the term to surrender on very many different levels. So I'm interested to see whether this is similar or not.
Talking about how we learn from each other, I know you talk a lot about love and power and purpose. And I know those are all individually very big topics, especially together. But I believe you're working on a book about this concept as well. And I was just hoping you could give a quick little insight into why these three things and what you're kind of what you see and what you're hoping for.
Thank you for addressing that. That is the issue that is dearest to my heart, considering that my personal purpose is the unification of love and power. And it's been a journey to actually understand that purpose. And so starting out with self-organization, on that journey, I actually got familiar with the concept of purpose. And the first purpose statement or expression of my personal purpose was the manifestation of love in the way we do our work in the world. And when I found that out, I was shocked to the core because I came from the conventional, you know, business world. And it's like, oh my God, I cannot talk about love in the business world kind of thing. And it took me, it was a deep sort of my personal journey to actually understand that this is about, you know, being true to yourself and to be able to make your decisions based on the question whether whatever you do, will it serve your personal purpose or not? And then I felt very comfortable with that going into my learning journey with self-organization. And going into the learning journey with self-organization, you immediately get confronted with the issue of power. So the first thing, like addressing the three, love, power, and purpose that you mentioned. So purpose, I learned along the way how incredibly valuable it is to be able to sense into your purpose repeatedly, to see how it evolves, and to be able to make a conscious decision about, you know, how to direct your energy and how to engage, whether it is in service of your purpose or not. For me, it became clear that I wanted to work, contribute to this life, purpose aligned, knowing my purpose. And so self-organization was one expression of that. And then, as I said before, you run into the issue of power because it is a huge shift. If you want to go, really want to go and shift the way you work together with others in a self-organized way, you need to shift the story that you are holding about power. And that took me years to understand, you know, the power shift as such. We think we go from a power hierarchy to distribute it to a system of distributed power. And that takes away the issue of power over. So one having power over the other. And what I found was that is not true. So we have systems that distribute authority, and then you have authority, like it gives a part in the system and the authority to decide within a certain field. But it does not distribute power because power is held personally. That is I just truly believe that after so many years of experience, a system that distributes authority doesn't automatically distribute power. So I started to look deeper into that. And at that time, I ran into a book called Power and Love by Adam Kahane. But I had already explored my purpose, the unification of love and power. And I, after, you know, first being completely overwhelmed by that purpose, I found that Adam Kahane had already written a book about it. It was the first book that I ran into where I thought, oh my God, there's already a book out there about that. And I started reading it and watching his videos. And then, you know, that takes you down a path where you run into the most incredible and beautiful learnings. And it is from Adam Kahane that set me off on learning about the definitions of power and love by Paul Tillich, who was the doctoral advisor of Martin Luther King. So the definitions of Paul Tillich inspired Adam Kahane. And just to be clear on the definition, so again, based on Paul Tillich, he says, power is the drive of everything living to self-realize itself with increasing intensity and extensity, which is an interesting word I'd never heard before. And I had been working on the, you know, on understanding self-realization as a core capacity for being able to work in a self-organized system. And then when I found this definition, but this definition of power was the first one I found that didn't hold that kind. It is just simply the description of the drive of everything living. And then the definition of love is what connects everything. Or is love is the drive of everything living to connect everything, not to create that connection, but to shine the light on it, to make it visible. And then I started, my understanding of everything started to gallop forward. It's like, okay, so if we understand that love is that what connects everything and power is what enables everything to self-realize, but if you are connected, you will be powerful in a connected way and then serve the greater whole, which is where the purpose comes in again, because purpose is something that emerges from a need of the greater whole. And that is how I get to love, power, and purpose when we act powerful in a loving way, serving a purpose. That is something that I get the goosebumps, and that's what I'm writing about.
Well, that sounds intriguing. Thank you for sharing, and I look forward to being able to read about it. I do have a specific question around your thoughts on how power, or I'm guessing authority, interacts with love and relationships, especially in terms of working within organizations. For example, I've worked places that claim to be very, very loving, and a lot of very unloving stuff happened and claimed it was from a place of love. And so I was kind of curious where you feel that dynamic is in terms of if I have power or authority over you, if we are working in a rather traditional organization and I'm the CEO and you are just a new employee, if I have that level of power over you, does love work differently?
How can I say? I mean, I've worked in conventional hierarchy and I have experienced the dysfunction of power over. And I don't even know if the way I look at the unified love and power, if that even is applicable in a power hierarchy system, because there is a contradiction. In a power hierarchy, you actually have power legitimized of a one person having power over another person. And therefore, the concept of everybody needing to be powerful in a way that I have described it, I can't see it. It doesn't mean that there can't be love. Of course there can be, right? But I don't know. I don't know how that can work. To me, that just doesn't go together with what I understand how love can be shown powerful and power can be shown in a loving way. So with self-organization being the principle of the universe and my belief that the universe is everything is interconnected, and that interconnection is love. So that's how I come from self-organization to love.
Another question I have is, for you, does the concept of love, does it have to be, I think mutual is the easiest way to say it, in the sense that if you are higher up within the organization and you let me go from the company and you say it's out of love, for you, you're doing something out of love because you think the work is no longer good for me. You want me to move on, find something better. But for me, you know, it might just be, oh, she's ruining my life because I am now losing my job. Where do you feel the line is between love and claiming love?
So I would say the first thing that came up for me when I was listening to you was that in a system that expresses love and power in the way that I describe, there would not be one person letting another person go. That just wouldn't work. And so it would have to be a systemic thing that includes the person. Again, that doesn't go together. I think that is not a true self-organized system. Honestly, I believe that. It needs to be much more radical. It cannot be that one person lets another person go.
And that actually brings me to the last question I have for you is, we've talked a lot about self-organization and love, kind of how they interact and support mm-hmm. each other. Do you feel, purely from the organizational context of if a company is, you know, transitioning to self-organization, do you feel that a self-organized structure inherently creates more compassion and understanding? Or is the opposite true, where no matter what your structure is, the more compassion and understanding you are, the more self-organized you will naturally become?
That is such a cool question, because it is not an either or. Both has to happen. The structure alone and the decision-making processes, and that will, it will do something. But if you don't look at both, the structural aspect and the relational aspect, which are two different things, those are the perspectives. It is useful to deal with both at the same time and to make sure that there is symbiosis between the two. And watch out for the balance of how things move forward. That means you have both. You have the structure and you have the connection. You have the love. And you need to deal with both. If you don't, if the development of the collective and the individual isn't well aligned with the development of the structure, it is terrible. And everybody and every organization suffers from that if you don't address that. I think that is such a crucial part. And that's the work I do with Language of Spaces and with Symbiotic Enterprise, and then ultimately with the For Purpose Enterprise. It has to be aligned. And many organizations don't see that.
Thank you very much for sharing that. I really appreciate your perspectives on this topic, that definitely love in the workplace isn't a super common topic. So we always appreciate being able to talk about it.
Yeah, thank you. And I think, again, love in the workplace, there's a lot of talk about, you know, people-centric and so on. That's wonderful. From my perspective, it still doesn't differentiate what needs to be differentiated. So when you talk about love in the workplace, I think you have to start by defining what you mean by love. Because very often we understand of everybody has to love everybody. And that is just not really realistic. So I just wanted to say that if we say love in the workplace, then we need to be clear on what we mean by love.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I agree with that last part, especially. So thank you for sharing. That brings us to the last part of the podcast, where we ask all of our guests una cosita más, which is just one more thing. Do you have one thing you'd like to share, whether it's a book, some advice, a shameless plug, any one thing that you want people to take away?
I would like to talk about where I found my biggest inspiration in the past maybe couple of years. And I am super inspired about, for example, Charles Eisenstein's book, The More Beautiful World Our Heart Knows Is Possible. And this is the first book of Charles Eisenstein that I read. And I find it inspiring, motivating, encouraging. This guy speaks out what he feels and thinks in an authentic way. And he has a network that you can join. And he has great blogs. And he's written this book, Sacred Economics. And I'm not a guru follower. I just really like his style. I like his authenticity. And then there are people that when you follow him, you automatically get further connected to people like Daniel Schmachtenberger or someone I told you, Bayou Akumulafe. And those are people who speak honestly, openly, lovingly. And I would suggest everybody needs to start with Charles Eisenstein's book, again, The More Beautiful World, Our Heart Knows Is Possible, and then take it from there. And clearly he is very much anchored in the concept of interbeing, the connectedness of everything. So lots of resonance there, which is based in Charles Eisenstein. I think he refers to having got his basic inspiration from Thich Nhat Hanh. But I really love referring to this book and his work in general and the other ones that follow up then. But I have also decided, actually that came up when I started to write my book. I did some research and I have a very consistent daily journaling practice. And I actually, over the time, I realized this is it's a methodology for introspection and self-reflection and a lot of shadow work. And over the years, I developed a really pretty clear methodology. And I now offer that for people who want to, you know, really step into embodying their purpose. And of course, if you go to my website, I offer that now under the word journalogue, which is a mixed word between journaling and voice dialogue, because it's an inner voice dialogue through journaling in a specific way. And it has been extremely useful for myself, and now I'm offering it to others, and others find it very useful too. So you can find that on my website.
Great. Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure having you on the podcast, and we hope to chat again soon.
Thank you so much, Paul.